There's a moment every parent of a queer kid hits, and nobody warns you about it. It's not a big dramatic scene. It's the day you realize you don't get a vote anymore. Today, we're talking about what actually changes when your queer teen becomes a queer adult, and why the letting go is so much harder and so much more important than anyone tells you.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind, the podcast for parents of LGBTQ+ kids and anyone trying to stay human in a world that keeps hardening. I'm Heather Hester, and here we talk about fear, belonging, boundaries, courage, love, and what it means to protect what matters without losing yourself in the process. Your child doesn't just need a parent who's informed. They need a parent who is grounded and strong. Let's take a breath and let's begin.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind. I'm Heather Hester. By the end of today's episode, you will understand the real specific differences between parenting a queer teen and parenting a queer adult, not just in theory, but in the daily rhythms of your relationship. You will have language for what your role becomes once you're no longer the one managing the details of their life. And you will walk away with actual scripts you can use this week to shift from managing to advising in a way that keeps your kid coming back to you instead of shutting you out. So I want to start today with a story about apartments. In recent months, Connor and Isabel have both found their own places. They have signed their own leases, and they've begun to furnish these places all on their own, in their own way. And of course, Steve and I helped when they asked. We gave a spare set of hands to Connor when he moved that weekend. We will be helping Isabel in a few weeks when she moves. We have helped with the weird questions that come up on leases, and we've offered opinions on different things as they've asked. But the decisions were theirs. We found out most of it after they had already made the decisions or at least started the process. Meanwhile, right now we are elbow deep in Rowan's move into his apartment for his freshman year of college, moving in with two guys he's only texted with and has not met in person yet. And understandably, we are involved with every single detail of this move and launching him into this next phase of his life. In fact, later on today, we're undertaking the fun how to set up and keep a budget conversation, which is so far from being one of my favorite things to discuss. And Grace's living situation right now is complicated. It is so complicated that we are involved in ways that we never thought we would be. We're the same parents. We have the same values. Four completely different levels of involvement, all happening in the same season of life, of my life, of our lives as parents. It's not inconsistency. This is actually how it works. And nobody tells you how disorienting it feels to be fully in the trenches with one kid and almost entirely on the sidelines with another at the exact same time. So today we're going to talk about it. Here's what's actually different. Underneath the obvious stuff about curfews and car keys and all of that. With a teen, you're still gatekeeping. You have some real influence over the spaces they move through. School administrators, other parents, the actual physical safety of a room. You can intervene. You can make a call. You can physically walk into a building. With an adult, you don't get a vote. They choose their own community. Their own disclosure timeline at a new job, their own partner. And often you find out about the hard things after they've already handled them or when they're in the middle and need your listening ear, which is on one hand so amazing because yay, they want to confide in you, but also boo, because it's not before the fact when you may have been able to offer more constructive advice. That shift from having some control to having none is where a lot of us get stuck. It can feel like our love is being demoted. It isn't. It's being asked to change shape. And here's the part that matters just as much. It's different for them too. The teen years are about being protected inside a world they didn't choose. School, home, extended family gatherings they can't opt out of. The young adult years are about being chosen, building a life and a circle of people on their own terms. That is its own kind of vulnerable, just a different one than the vulnerability of being 16 and out at school. The fear doesn't go away as they get older. It just morphs into other shapes and sneaks into other areas. You can't see what you're not there for anymore. That's not a smaller fear. It's just a quieter one. So let's name what's specific to parenting a queer kid, not just an adult kid in general. First, your concerns about safety don't disappear. They just change shape. With a teen, you can vet the school, the neighborhood, the family gathering. You can be in the room. With an adult, you don't get to vet the new job's culture or the new city or the new partner's family before they walk in. The world isn't necessarily safer for them now. It's just a world you can't inspect in advance anymore. Second, legal and medical standing shifts entirely. As a minor, you had actual say in the decisions that affected them. The IEP meetings, school policies, choosing an affirming therapist, being in the room for a doctor's appointment. As an adult, a name change, a medical decision, how out to be with a new employer, all of that is entirely theirs. You may not find out a decision was made until well after it's done, and legally, you have no role in it, even if you wanted one. Third, they build their own queer community and chosen family, largely out of your view. As a teen, you are often part of building their support system, finding the GSA, vetting a therapist, connecting them to affirming spaces. As an adult, they build that world entirely on their own terms. You may never fully meet it. The friends who become family, the spaces that made them feel safe in a way you once helped construct it. This is a threshold moment that never fully resolves. You keep crossing it a little at a time for years. So let's get concrete at this. Here is some language you can actually use with both your queer teen and your queer adult. Listen closely in each one for the shifts. Script one is offering without managing. Instead of jumping straight to advice, try, do you want my advice on this or do you just want me to listen? That one question does enormous work. It tells your kid the door is open without you walking through it uninvited. Ask it every time, even if you're sure you already know the answer. Let them tell you. Script number two, use this one when you're worried and they haven't asked you for input. Say, I trust you to handle this. I'm here if you want to talk it through. No pressure either way. This keeps you present without taking this decision back into your own hands. Script three is for when you catch yourself managing instead of advising. If you notice you've slipped into logistics mode with an adult child, quick repair works better than backing away silently. You can say something like this. I realize I just told you what to do instead of asking what you needed, what would actually be helpful right now. One of my favorite moments in recent time happened when I was visiting Connor this past February. We had all been out late the night before seeing Masquerade, the show, and we met up early that morning to go to Governor's Island. I was completely mother-henning him, asking him if he needed water, if he needed food, if he needed, you know, what he needed. And he finally, very kindly and calmly said to me, "Mom, I don't need you to fix how I'm feeling right now. I just need for you to sit here with me." Yep. We all need this reminder sometimes. Script 4 you can use for the teen who still needs more hands-on protection. You can say, "I'm going to be really involved in this one because it's the season for that. That's not about whether I trust you. It's about where you are right now." This keeps a teen from reading heavy involvement as a verdict on their maturity. For example, this applies to where we are with Rowan right now. You can use script 5 for checking on safety without inspecting their life. When you say something like, "I'm not going to vet this. I just want to know, do you feel safe there?" This sentence lets you name the safety question directly without them hearing it as you trying to reclaim the gatekeeping role you no longer have. It also helps give them the language and knowledge of potential things to look for in whatever the situation may be. You can use script 6 for a legal or medical decision that is theirs alone. Say something like, "I know this one is yours to make. If you ever want a sounding board or just someone to sit with while you decide, I'm here." This acknowledges you have no standing in the decision while still offering yourself as a resource. You can use script 7 when you want to ask to be let into their chosen community. Saying something like, "I'd love to meet the people who matter to you whenever you're ready for that. No pressure, just an open invitation." This leaves the door open to their world without demanding entry into it. I knew of Connor's friends for several years before he started introducing me to them, and I never took it as a bad thing. I always thought of it as him and his process, him doing the differentiation and independence thing. So once he started introducing me and started introducing us to his friends, it was so much fun to take them out for dinner or meet them for drinks when we've been in town to get them to get to really know them in their own habitat. And that's just been really, really cool. So here's something I want to say plainly, because I think we don't say it enough. The goal was never to be in the managing parent role forever. The goal was always this: kids who still choose to confide in you once they don't have to, who choose to continue growing a relationship with you in a new context. I still worry about things my adult kids share with me. That worry doesn't go away just because I've asked for permission to hear it. But I would rather carry that worry and stay a safe place for them than protect my own peace of mind and lose that door. So I invite you to sit with these questions this week. Where in your own parenting are you still managing something that's actually ready to become advising? Is there a kid in your life, whether a teen or an adult, who needs you to say clearly, "I trust you to handle this"? And what would it feel like to measure success not by how much control you have, but by how much they still choose to tell you? That's the shift. Not protecting less because you love less, but trusting more because you've raised someone worth trusting. If this episode named something you're living right now, I'd love to hear about it. head over to Substack and tell me where you are in this. The teen years, the adult years, the strange in-between of a house with both. Subscribe to More Human and More Kind so you never miss a new episode. Until next time, keep choosing to be a little more human and a little more kind. Inviting someone into your home to paint is a big deal. You want people you can trust. People who show up on time, respect your space, and do the job right the first time. That's exactly what we do at Hester Painting and Decorating. With over 58 years of experience and a commitment to true craftsmanship, we treat your home like it's our own, creating masterpieces, one wall at a time. To schedule a consultation, go to go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. That's go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK.